Welcome to the Outdoor Panel Podcast, where we talk about chasing critters, catching fish, of course, hunting and fishing stories, and a lot of BSing.
It's like a beast. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a nice eye.
Yeah. That was a fast one. Holy cow.
Welcome to this week's Outdoor Panel Podcast. We've been really busy this spring with walleye fishing, turkey hunting, trout fishing. You name it, we've done it this spring. In this week's episode, we talked to Bud about his walleye tournament series schedule this spring on the Fox River and the Bay of Green Bay. He's fished in like five or six tournaments this spring, and we're going to go into detail about each one of the tournaments that he's fished in, along with things that he's happy he did in the tournament, things he wish he would have done differently in some of these tournaments. I think it's a really great podcast overall. It's fun to listen to some of the memories from each one of these tournaments. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the listen, because we enjoyed recording it. Let's get into the podcast now. All right, Bud. So, first turn in the tournament of the year. What was the first tournament, I guess?
Well, outside of the Swamp Donkey, then we jumped into the Duck Creek Series, Tournament 1, which I believe was towards the end of April. And that one, we had a semi-decent pre-fish. We had a couple spots that we weren't catching a lot of fish, but the fish we were catching were, they're good size. So we were just going to be looking for our five bites. But then we got thrown a curveball, and we ended up getting the small craft advisory, and tournament directors locked us down to fishing the river only. Yeah. And we did end up, we pre-fished the river for half a day, and Eric wasted my half a day. So we ended up not catching any walleyes in the river that day, because you wanted to go catfishing instead. Or cat snagging. So, yeah, when we woke up Saturday, I thought we were going to be able to go in the bay, and then we got the text at, I don't know, 5 or 5:30 saying that we're going to be in the river. So then I made a mad scramble. I went from the launch I was at to running down to Fox Point. And in the process, I stopped at Smokey's, bought some minnows. Then I had to stop at Swamp Donkey, and he had some P10s left in his trailer, so I was able to stock up with some P10s. And yeah, we were just going to kind of go do our normal spring fishing. You know, we were planning to pretty much troll the flats and pull some P10s, pull some flicker minnows, stuff like that. But you know, I wasn't super confident that morning going in, just for the simple fact that I knew a lot of the fish were already out of the river. But you got to do what you got to do. You got to kind of take the curveball, and you still got to try to hit your home run.
Yeah.
And we had a solid start, because, yeah, fishing started at 7. At 7:30, we had a 26-inch on the card already. So we thought, yeah, we're on the right plan. We just got to keep grinding it out. And then we hit the big wall, and we did like 4 more passes. We didn't get a single bite. So then we switched plans. I'm like, let's just go do some casting or some jigging, something like that, trying to find some active fish. We ended up picking up one more 19-inch at about 12:30. So I'm like, man, this is not good. I'm like, but, you know, watching the leaderboard, I'm like, we weren't out of it yet. So we ran back down to the flats and tried to troll some more. And we ended up we didn't get another bite the rest of the day. So we ended up only weighing the 2 fish. And I think that still managed us. There's like 80 boats in that one. We still managed a top half. I think we're barely in the top half. We're at like 39, something like that. But for not doing any pre-fishing there and kind of not having a game plan until getting there, that was a respectable finish, I thought, in my books. Looking back on that tournament and, you know, and being that guy, but I go through like a lot of the pictures because on the app, you can sit there and go through and see where you can look at all the pictures that guys posted. You can see the timestamps on them, stuff like that. And I'm kind of doing that. It's not to try to steal guys' spots, but I'm just trying to look to see where the bite windows were and seeing where they were and seeing if it was me or if it was just, I was just not even there. And from everything I saw was, it looked like a big bite window opened up as soon as I left the flats. So it's one of those things. I was trying to be aggressive and trying to get on hot fish, where if I would have just stayed with my original game plan and probably on the next pass, if we would have reset again, I probably would have started picking up more fish again. Because that's when it looked like a majority of the guys were weighing their fish while they were trolling.
Well, and you said that was kind of like a midday bite window. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was about 10 o'clock to 12:30.
Okay.
And that was the time frame where I left and I was doing some jigging and casting and stuff like that.
Okay. Do you remember anything about those conditions? Like, was it high skies? Was it cloudy?
Oh yeah. Bluebird skies, baby.
Okay.
Bluebird skies. It was hot. I think, I mean, even for April, I think it reached 80 that day or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we started the day in our snow pants and stuff, and by 10:30, we were down to t-shirts and jeans.
Okay. So along with that, water clarity was probably pretty dark at that point, eh?
It was pretty clear.
What?
I mean, it's not like it was muddy or anything like that.
But like typical Fox River, clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, a couple feet or something like that, you know? Feet. Yeah, you can see the motor.
The more I'm thinking about it, though, like, we've talked about how there's kind of a banker's bite on Pete and Well. I'm believing that the Fox River is becoming more and more of a banker's bite the more times that we fish on high, sunny skies.
Yeah, it's not what you think as far as, like, normal walleye conditions.
Yeah.
You know, you like think of like walleyes, it's dawn and dusk, you know, kind of deal. And I don't know. Yeah. Even for as clear as like the bay is, you can still pick fish up all day long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree with that. You like, there's definitely better bite windows. It's weird when those bite windows are, cause it seems like when there's high sunny skies, it seems like there's always a decent bite that midday. Cause we just historically have had success during those time periods, but it's weird too, because we also have really good bites at dawn and dusk and even during the night. So it's really weird how the Fox River fishery works for sure. So I don't want you to give away too much, but you know, trolling the flats, were you just using stick baits or,
I'll give away everything now, Eric. I mean,
all right, give it away. What was the hot lure?
Oh, what did we pick it up? We picked it up on a P10. Our big fish came on a P10. I'm trying to think of which. I think it was Chi Town. So it's like it's a white base and it's got purple and pink dots on it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty hot lure for me. All spring.
Yeah.
So.
How was, like.
And then our 19 came on casting the blade bait. That was down by the fairgrounds in that flat.
Gotcha. I drove over the bay or the Fox River when you were fishing in that tournament, and it looked like a zoo down there.
Yep. Half the field was in the flats.
How much do you feel like those fish were like pressured? Like, cause just based off of what I'm gauging from chatting with you, it doesn't feel like the fish were like reacting to the pressure super negatively.
No, I don't think it was actually that bad, because I think majority of the guys that were fishing were just the tournament guys.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the weekend warriors or the wreck fishermen, I think they weren't in the river. They were probably out in the bay.
Yeah.
You know, or they were just not fishing the river, period. Yeah, and even us tournament guys, like, even though I thought that the trolling pressure would have been a lot worse, there was quite a few of us doing it, but there was a lot of guys, like, there's that big hole that'd be to the north of the flats down by the railroad trestles. There was a lot of guys casting that, and like just up on the flats there. I would say that had more pressure, like the most pressure on the whole river from what I saw.
Yeah, that's what it looked like from 172 when I was crossing, because I was kind of keeping tabs of where guys were as I was crossing that bridge. And it was just interesting because you saw like a pot of boats here, then a pot of boats there. Then it was kind of like a little scattered throughout all the flats. You could tell who was doing what. And it was kind of sweet to see from like an aerial view of what boats are doing. So that was just something different from a different perspective who wasn't on the water or anything like that. So I guess you kind of mentioned what you wish you would have done differently. You wish you would have been a little bit more patient, wish you would have took your time, took another couple passes up on the flats. What did you do well from that tournament, though?
Like, what did I learn?
No, just what moves were you happy with that you made?
And that's kind of, it's a double-edged sword, because I find myself a lot of the times, if I think something's going to go, I grind it out, and then it doesn't go. And then it's chalked up as a failure. Because I'm like, I should have did a move. I should have did something. I should have adjusted. Well, I made a point of this time to, I stuck to that. I'm like, I told myself that if we went X number of passes without a bite, we're going to change. We're going to go do something different. We're going to go try to find active fish. So I was happy that I changed my plans, because I set a goal or a plan and I executed it. It's just, it didn't work out. Where this time, if I would have ground out what I was doing, I mean, it could have been a totally different game for me.
Yeah, I think that's with anything outdoors. Like, it's always the question of when to get mobile and when not to get mobile. And, you know, it comes deer hunting, same thing. Like, you know, there's certain spots where if you just sit, something good's going to happen. However, you know, how long can you wait it out before you run out of vacation time or whatnot? It seemed like that scenario kind of played out with the walleye tournament here, where it's like you only have so much time to make something happen.
Yep.
And if you just grind it out, and it's a question like that we all in the outdoors deal with, like, when's that time to move? How patient should I be, or how patient is too patient? And it just seems like this time was just one of those times where you just moved a little bit too quick, apparently. But
and especially looking at, you know, at the bigger picture, the fact that we didn't pre-fish it at all.
Yeah.
You know, if we would have pre-fished the river more, and if we would have picked up fish pre-fishing in the flats, then maybe I would have said, I'm just going to troll the flats all day.
Yeah.
You know, where it was pretty much, we went into that tournament, you know, even though we put our time in the river in the spring, and we put in a lot of hours, and we know how to fish it, we know the spots.
Yeah.
It was kind of a whole different scenario because the time frame was so late.
Okay, here's a question for you. If you knew that if you knew what you knew now on how they were going to handle the small craft advisory, would you have pre-fished differently then?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, I think what I should have did was I should have known that I could have gone out in the bay and found fish, because there were fish in the normal spots of spring in the bay.
Yeah.
And I should have been able to know that. I know I'm going to be able to go out there and figure it out that day. And I should have just listened to the advice of the tournament directors and listened to your advice. And we should have took that Friday and just spent the whole day in the river.
Yeah.
And if they would have let us go in the bay, I mean, I guess, oh, well, I have learned more stuff about the river, I guess, yeah. You know?
I mean, honestly, you didn't post a terrible weight. You didn't post a terrible bag. I mean, by all means. I mean, weren't you in the top third of the field almost or something like that?
I was top half because I finished like 39th out of like 82.
Yeah.
But I think probably only 40-some or 50-some guys weighed a fish. You know, and our two fish, I think we were at 9 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, you know. You put a full bag together, right?
No, just two fish.
Oh, you guys only caught two fish? Wow, I didn't know that part of the story. Wait, was it just two quality fish then that you guys caught?
A 19 and a 26.
Oh, that's quality.
You know, we just needed three more.
Yeah, that had to be a tough tournament.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think there was probably only 12 guys that had five fish.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they actually had a decent five fish.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things. If you could fill your card with 20 pluses, you would have did good.
Yeah. Well, not a bad tournament. Not a bad tournament. I think that's still something to be proud of with the conditions that everyone was facing and the challenge of the weather being so cold and getting so hot and not just being in limbo the entire morning, because nobody knew in that tournament till like, what, I send you a text, was that Thursday or something like that? At like noon, somewhere around then?
That it was Wednesday or Thursday when they told us that there's a possibility of fishing the river only. And then we technically didn't, the call didn't come out until it was like 5:30 or something Saturday morning is when we got the word, and the tournament started at 7.
Yeah, because I text you and you're like, what are you talking about? So, and it sounds like from now on, because I've been, you know, been on their Facebook page and whatnot, it sounds like they made something where you can go out there at your own risk if there's a small craft advisory now. Is that correct?
Yeah, because what actually happened was, so National Weather Service posted a small craft advisory, and we ended up not getting the winds that they called for. They were calling for all these brutal winds and all this. Well, we didn't get the wind. So the bay was, I mean, there was like 1 foot chop on the bay. So apparently like a lot of the directors and stuff, and we found this out at the tournament from last weekend, last weekend. And apparently a lot of guys were calling them and a lot of guys were complaining to them about it. Like some of the tournament directors, like during the day, they probably spent a quarter of their day on their phones listening to guys complain. Yeah, and that's not fair to them at all, because they're fishing it too. I mean, they're just getting interrupted, their fishing. But what they ended up doing now going forward is they imposed more rules on us, like more safety rules. We're mandatory life jackets if the motor is above trolling speed. Even though it's a law, we have to have the lanyard on us for a kill switch anytime the boat's moving. No alcohol is allowed in the boats now during tournament hours. So they imposed a lot more safety rules to us. I guess they had to change the insurance policy. But now what they're going to do is they're going to advise us of the weather conditions. They're going to recommend the areas that we fish if the weather is bad, but it's all at your own risk now.
Gotcha. Sounds like a kind of a big headache for those guys. So I don't know. Got to give the tournament directors and whatnot some kudos on that to make everybody happy.
And that's just it. I mean, you're never going to make everybody happy. You got 80 boats, you know, you got 100, almost 200 guys in this thing. Mm-hmm. You're never going to make anybody happy.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty fair on the changes that they made to some of the rules and whatnot.
Yeah, they rewrote their waiver to cover them even more and stuff, which that's the whole point of the waiver. It's, we're all doing this at our own risk. I mean, if something happens to us because we do something stupid, I mean, yeah, there's no reason that somebody should go after them.
Yeah.
They didn't force us in the boat. They didn't drive us out there. We're all doing that on our own. So.
Yep. No, that's fair. That's fair. All right. So that was kind of tournament two. We already talked about the Swamp Talk in a previous podcast, so you guys can listen to that. I think it was like two podcasts ago or something like that. Now, let's talk about tournament three on the year. Is it still called the Fox River Classic?
Yep. Still called the Fox River Classic. They changed the venue. Still a live weigh-in. Did have one big rule change in that tournament compared to years past. Because we used to do the weigh-in at Jimmy C's restaurant, which nobody's that familiar. What it is it's a restaurant right on the river, but it's about halfway between the bay and the Pier Dam. And where that is, or how that affects us, is for the guys that fish the bay, you're allowed 5 fish per guy. Now, if you go into the river, you're only allowed 3 fish per guy. So that tournament was always restricted to you're only allowed to bring in 6 fish and you weigh in your top 5. Well, Jimmy C's ended up closing during COVID. They're not planning to reopen or anything like that. So our new venue is South Bay Marina, which is right at the mouth. So now if you go out and fish the bay, you only fish the bay, the 5 fish limit per guy is allowed. Now, if you end up, because we're still allowed to fish the river. If guys want to fish the river, they can. But those fishermen, they have to abide by the 3 fish limit. Mm-hmm. So kind of the one big rule change for them is guys that are fishing the bay and only fishing the bay, we can have 10 fish in our box now and weigh in 5. So you kind of get a little more freedom as far as you can keep a box full of 20s, you know, and then try to upgrade from there, you know, however you want to do your strategy.
With that rule, can you take home eaters then if you want to? Then
they said that if you caught your 5 fish and then you wanted to fish 5 eaters, yeah, they wouldn't kind of.
Oh, look. Okay. That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Something different. Yeah, so how'd that tournament go?
That one was a grind. As far as opening weekend was a really good weekend for me. Me and James went out. I think we caught, I don't know how many fish we caught. I think we caught like 15 or 17 eyes.
So we could only keep, pre-fishing the week before, that is.
That was the weekend before. So that's a week ahead of, that was exactly 1 week before the tournament. We went out fishing. We caught like 15, 16 eyes, whatever. We only kept 7, and that was a bold rule of mine. Because if you want to keep a fish, it's got to be between 15 and then like 21, 22. You know, it's kind of like my cutoff. And then anything above that, I release. So out of that 15, 16 fish, only 7 were below 22. So I'm thinking, yeah, we're doing great now. You know, I'm on big fish. Thinking it's going to be going good in the next tournament weekend. Well, we got storms that whole next week. Went out Thursday by myself. Ended up zeroing, checking a whole bunch of spots. Then, oh, crap. Here goes my drink.
We have a spill. We have a spill, folks. First spill in podcast history.
What sucks is I just got this boat dried out from this weekend. So. Oh, man. Okay. So then me and Andy went out Friday. And with zeroing on Thursday, I'm like, all right, man, we're just going to have to cover ground. We literally covered every inch of the boundaries. We ended up having one fish way up on the northeast corner boundary. And it was a good fish. That was like a 26 or something. And then we went over to the west shore. And we picked up three in one pass there. So I'm like, all right. So we actually had four fish the day before the tournament. But I'm like, well, I guess we'll go where the numbers are and fish through them. So started tournament day out, went up Islamico, had our first fish in the box 10 minutes into the first pull, got our second fish at the end of that pull. Then we proceeded to do four more pulls and we didn't get a single bite. So now we're sitting at 11 o'clock. We only got two in the box. So then we're like, all right.
Hold on. So this is kind of a similar scenario that you just had in your last tournament, right?
Exactly.
Where it's like, okay, last time I did this, I moved and got kind of freaking took it in the butt because yep. Everybody else started catching fish. Now you're in the same situation. How'd this situation play out?
Well, we made a move out deep, didn't catch anything. Went out even deeper, didn't catch anything. So I'm like, man, I'm like, we're running out of time. We're running out of spots. I'm like, I don't even know where to go. Because the crappy part about it was everywhere we went, we were marking fish still, and they were active fish. We just could not get them to bite. So I'm like, so Suamico, for guys that know it, your first couple weekends, the pressure is very high. And you're fishing anywhere from 5 feet of water to 12 foot. And there had to be over 100 boats in there. So we're just thinking that the pressure got to the fish. Yeah, and that was the deal. So I'm like, we totally left. We left there. We went all the way across the bay to Vincent. I'm like, all right. So we pull up in there. Now it's about, I can't think what time it was, about 12:30 or something like that.
Okay, so that was a big run you guys had to make.
Yeah, it was about half hour in my boat. We killed a lot of time, but I'm like, dude, we gotta go somewhere else. Yeah. We gotta keep moving. You know, I'm playing the same game of like we gotta find the active fish. So we get over to Vincent, and now on Friday we totally passed Vincent. We didn't even fish it because nobody was there. I'm like, well, if there ain't no boats here, the fish probably aren't here. Because I mean, all these community spots this time of year, if the fish are there, there'll be guys on it. So we get there, and I think there was like two boats on Vincent. I'm like, all right, well, let's try. I could tell by the speed that they were probably pulling harnesses or something like that. I'm like, I ain't dealing with harnesses. So we ended up, we pulled cranks. And from now that term, we have to be back by 3 o'clock, you know, in the mouth of the river. So at this point, this is like 12:30. We would have to leave there by like 2:15, you know, to give myself enough time to take it easy so I don't beat up the fish, because you want to keep the fish alive. So I'm like, it's going to at least take us 45 minutes to get back. So I'm like, well, let's just try it. Well, we proceeded to put a fish in every 15 minutes by ourselves on Vincent. We ended up, we went from 2 fish to 7 fish in a matter of an hour. And we ended up, we, one of the fish we caught in the morning, we didn't have to weigh. One of the very first fish on Vincent, we didn't weigh. Those were our two smallest fish. We ended up putting a bag together of 19 to 26.
And were you in the top half, top quarter of the field?
I don't remember. That one, it was a field of roughly 70 boats, I think. So that we do our weigh in. I'm like, yeah, that's not a huge bag. We don't have a lot of, we had that 126. But then after that, we had a lot of 20s, 23. But, you know, it's a solid bag. We won't be embarrassed. So, yeah, we take care of the fish. Load the boat, we go up to the land. Well, we get up there and we see the big sign. Everybody's zeroing. We're like, what? You know, I'm like, we're just shocked the amount of zeros. I'm like, all right. So we kind of just sit there and we're looking at all playing out. And yeah, I go up there and I start counting out guys' weights above us. We ended up weighing, we weighed 19.7. Oh, 19.
I thought it was 19.3.
19.3.
Yep.
And I start calling them out. We ended up finishing 13th. And you know?
Yeah, so you were in top 7th. Something like that. Something like that.
Yeah. But, we ended up, like, there was only, out of 70-some guys, I think 41 weighed fish. So apparently it was a tough bite.
Yeah. So wrapping this all together, because, you know, first tournament, made the move, bit you in the ass. This tournament, you made the move and it paid off.
And so it's like, it saved the day.
What the heck? What are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, that move, the move saved our day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a respectable finish for anybody. Anytime you're in that many boats and that close to top 10, and if you would have picked up one more big fish, you would have been probably right in the hunt for top 7, top 5, something like that. So
I think our smallest fish was 19. If we would have upgraded that to like a 23, we would have been top 10 then.
Okay.
We would have been money for sure, because we only missed the money by 0.4 pounds.
Dang. Son of a bitch.
Because it paid out through 12th.
What's something that you regret doing from this tournament then? That would have helped you get that extra 4 ounces.
Now this is because I'm looking back. We drove right over that spot during our pre-fish. Why we didn't stop and look, that was a stupid move. Like, even if we would have just stopped and ran the electronics, just to see if there was stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, that was definitely a mistake on our part.
Yeah, because that probably would have saved you. That would have saved you a lot of time and put you in a lot more quality fishes range for more time.
Yeah, but see, that's the double-edged sword, because the very first fish we caught at, what time was it, like 7:45 or 7:30 or something like that? Well, we weighed that fish, you know, that we caught in Suamico.
That's true.
You know, that was like our third biggest fish.
Yeah.
Because that was like a 23.5 or something we caught in the very first fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, like you said, but who knows, maybe you would have picked up more quality fish in the second spot. We'll never know, I guess. We'll never know.
Because we could have picked that apart, you know, just for the simple fact that the whole time we were there, we had like 3 or 4 boats there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we wouldn't have had to deal with the crowds. They're biting on cranks, which I love. And you can just keep pounding that whole system.
Yeah.
You know, and if we were keeping that average of a fish every 15, 30 minutes, I mean, just think of the fish that we could have went through.
Yeah. I mean, that could have got you that extra four ounces. Maybe you would have had just a better overall bag, like, rather than, you know, a couple 19s or whatever you guys had.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, something you would have done different. What are you obviously happy with?
Unlike the first one, I'm happy I made the move.
Yep.
Because it was right.
Yep.
The time the move paid off. You know, it's like I knew not to just keep grinding out what I thought we had to do.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a bummer that some of these tournaments aren't like 2 or 3 days long, because it's like you get your day of pre-fish and then you get that like first day, then you start to figure it out, where it's like, man, imagine if you would have had a second day at like to really pound on that spot, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right. That is tournament number 3 done on the year. Then you just had tournament number 4 this last weekend. And sounded like it was a very exciting tournament from some of the bags that we saw.
So, yeah, this was, you know, pretty much a week after the Fox River. Like, I only had 5 days off between tournaments. And, yeah, did the same thing where I fished Thursday, I fished Friday. Thursday, what did we end up doing there? Oh, yeah, Thursday we ran out of Bayshore. And it was kind of like what I expect from up there. I was hoping for it to be better. But, yeah, we picked up one fish, and it was quality. It was probably, how big was that, 25, 26. Oh, and I left out. This proceeded of me kicking my net over the side of my boat. That's how the morning started.
I didn't hear about this.
You got the Snapchat of me walking through
the snap, but I didn't know the story.
Yeah, so I was fishing with my buddy Jeff, who I shoot with, and he's retired, so he has all the time in the world to fish. So he came out pre-fishing with me. And yeah, he got caught like a white perch or something. Well, it didn't pull the board back far enough, so then it tangled my lines, and I took my net, and I set it with the hoop down, leaning against the side of the boat, which I've done 100 times before.
Yeah.
And never have an issue. So I'm sitting there, you know, set the net down. I'm dealing with this tangle. Well, pretty soon I hear it. I feel a tug on the line that I'm trying to untangle. Well, I start grabbing it. I'm pulling it in. I'm like, holy crap, it's a fishing net. I'm like, oh, that's an eagle. I'm like, man, that's a nice net. I got one just like it. And I'm pulling it in. Well, pretty soon the line snaps. And, you know, so I lose my lure. Well, I'm pissed off because I lost my lure. I look over my shoulder, and my net's not in the boat anymore. So I caught my own net that I was so excited for. So then we spun around. Supposedly eagle floats, right? Well, apparently only the handle floats, not when you have a big net off the front of it. So, yeah, and they said we never found the net. So now we're down to just the backup net, which is like 2 feet long. Yeah, we need to say that we fished around.
You lost the good net, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost the big net.
Oh, man, that sucks. I didn't realize it was the good one.
Yeah, it was the good net. $180 net. So, they said we had picked up the one nice fish there.
Sorry, I'm just laughing. This has been an expensive tournament season. I guess we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back on track here with the tournament itself.
So yeah, caught that one nice fish up at Bayshore. You know, and then we're jumping around, trying out deeper, went off the volts, not picking anything up. I'm like, all right, well, let's go try down by Vincent. Go down by Vincent. 5 minutes in, we pop another 24 off of Vincent. I'm like, all right, I'm good. So we picked up. I'm like, I don't need to. If there's fish on Vincent, I don't want to beat them up. Not to mention, there wasn't anybody there. I don't want people to see me fishing it.
Yeah.
You know? So we bailed out of there knowing that, okay, Vincent has fish. And then, yeah, we just busted around all day, couldn't find anything. So then Friday came around, I'm like, and I'm debating now. Okay, do I fish? Do I go for the big fish that I think are north of Bayshore, or actually it would be like northeast? Or do I go south down by Frying Pan? Because what bit me in the butt last year with like the whole Duck Creek is I spent a lot of time up at Bayshore going after big fish. And the first two tournaments, the guy won by fishing Frying Pan. Because he just sat there and kept fishing Frying Pan. And he caught like 30, 40 fish. And, you know, the nice part about the Duck Creek is it's just automatically taking your big five. You can register 40 fish. So I'm like, that burnt me last year. I'm like, I should go check out Frying Pan. And if there's a buttload of fish, just play that game of fishing through the fish, you know? So we ended up taking Friday's pre-fish day, and that's what we did. And I found a nice pull. And I think we only fished until 11 because we had a storm coming in. And I think in that, how many fish did we catch Friday? I don't know, eight, nine, 10 walleyes we caught. We lost some of our biggest ones at the boat. You know, we had only had like 4 eaters, but the rest were all big.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I'm like, man, I got 2 solid spots now going into pre, you know, done with pre-fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then Saturday comes around, me and James go out fishing, you know, and I'm torn about which spot I want to do first. And I'm looking back, I'm like, man, we caught that big one, Fox River on Vincent. We only did a 10, 15 minutes of fishing there on Friday or on Thursday. Got a good one. I'm like, we're going to hit Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're fishing Vincent. I think we had 3 fish in the live well, by, or like in our virtual live well.
Yep.
By 8 o'clock, we had 3 fish already. You know, and I don't think they weren't huge, but they were 3 fish. I'm like, we're doing good. Cause I'm like, we can just start just keep pounding on them. So yeah, we ended up fishing Vincent till 11:30. That's when we got our 5th fish. I'm like, sweet, we got a full card. I'm like, if the bite's anything like last weekend, you know, 5 fish is good. So I'm like, well, this isn't exactly as hot as I want. I'm like, let's go try the other spot. So we start pulling the other spot. First fish we hooked into would have been our biggest fish. And we're still not sure what happened, but it made two runs at the back of the boat straight down.
Really?
Yeah, we got it on the surface. As soon as it got to the motor, it dove down. We got it back up. It dove down a second time and threw the lure. And that fish was at least 26 inches we lost.
Dang.
So I'm like, well, we made a move. That was the first fish. I'm like, hopefully the big fish are here. Just keep fishing them. Well, we ended up, for the rest of the day, we worked that line. I think we caught 10 more fish. Pretty much up. We upgraded like all but like 2 of our fish from the morning. You know, so I'm ecstatic. I'm like, man, we upgraded bags. I'm like, we got 5. I knew we're not winning, but I'm like, I'm hoping for like top half. Like that would be a solid showing, solid points for the angler of the year. Yeah, and then the leaderboard turned on, and I started scrolling, trying to find my name, and I was that tournament only had 68 guys. Ended up finishing 44th. And I was just like, I was super happy with how we finished.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of the program we put together, the amount of fish we caught. And then it was like, what happened?
Yeah, what was your bag?
We weighed like 19 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So not a terrible bag, but
yeah, first place weighed just shy of 48 pounds. And yeah, it was just, the bite was hot. I didn't realize, I mean, that the bite, it's like everybody says you should have been here yesterday. Well, Saturday was yesterday, man. Like, I started going through all the bags. I think like 60 teams weighed 5 fish. You know, so just think of that, 60 teams times 5. What is that, 300 fish?
Yeah.
You know?
First place, that was over 8 pounds of fish. That's incredible. Almost 9 pounds of fish.
So now back to what I said earlier. I fished Bayshore last year, all 3 tournaments. The bite on Frying Pan or down south, Lower Bay, bit me in the butt. You want to know where this tournament was won?
Bayshore.
Yep. First and second place were fishing from Bayshore, from what I could see. So,
what would you have done differently?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, of course. Apparently, there's big fish on Bayshore. Oh, man. Well, but what do you do?
Yeah. Then anything you have that you were happy you did then?
I mean, I'm happy that, you know, for the most part, we fished clean. I could say that too for like this whole year in general. We've been fishing very clean.
Yeah.
Because I think that big fish we lost this weekend, I think that was the first one where we actually lost. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. You know, we're not losing fish. We're not having fish come unbutton. I mean, you talk about the fish that we've caught between Swamp Donkey and all 3 of these, and we've only lost 1. I'm happy about that.
Yeah. No, I say, you know, and it didn't cost you really that much. I mean, that would have been shitty if it would have been in the Fox River Classic where you could have upgraded one more fish to put you in the money. It wasn't that type of scenario. But, man, that's some of the hottest fishing that, you know, I've ever heard of in an amateur tournament. I mean, that's a hell of a day fishing for all those boats and all those weights.
It's 60 times 5. Now, you talk to a lot of the guys, like, you know, sitting around afterwards.
Yeah.
Guys were talking like, yeah, they went through like 30, 40 fish.
Wow.
Oh, you know, that's for one team, you know. You look at us. I mean, we had like 15.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of the amount of fish that were caught.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to say just wrapping up these tournaments, but I have just general questions after we done talking about the tournaments. Did you want to talk about anything else surrounding that tournament?
I wish people didn't fish so good around here.
I thought I was
like fucking King Tut, fucking thinking of the program I put together, and fuck, got my butt whooped. I got my butt whooped fishing good.
I think there's something to be said with that. I'd say, I don't know, you don't know, like, what other tournaments are on, like, Lake Erie and throughout the Great Lakes or in walleye country, but I'd say for amateur fishing, if you want to get into amateur fishing, I mean, the Fox River and the Bay of Green Bay, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of quality guys fishing in those tournaments for sure.
Yeah, it was the same thing. Like, I still did my state program, you know, the Monday and Tuesday after the tournament, kind of cycling through guys' pictures, you know, trying to pick up stuff, you know. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the top guys, they were fishing that second spot. There were a lot of guys fishing that where they were catching 24s, 25s, 26s, you know. So it's like, I was in the right spot. I was doing the right thing, it was just one of those circumstances. I just didn't have the right fish bite it, you know?
Yeah. No, I'd like to go in just like some of the themes of the spring, I guess, so far this year. Weather has been absolutely crazy this spring. The way I've been summarizing it when I've talked to people, it's been like a spring, but it's been like a winter spring.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. So I think that's been one of the themes of the winter. And why I think you're seeing these hot spells of like great fishing days and like the tournaments where you caught two fish and finished in the top third of the field. I mean, yeah. I think it's just been one of the most inconsistent spring weathers that we've had in a long, long time. And it has showed with fishing. So I think that's just a theme. I'm not sure if you want to speak to anything on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. It's just been so much up and down, you know, and storms. Like, we're just getting rain every week now. You know, I think, well, yeah, this going in, and that was a thing that really surprised me about how good the bite was. Because, yeah, well, we had a storm. I think we had a storm come through Wednesday night. Then we had a storm. Little bit of a front come through like Thursday evening. But then like Friday morning, like we were like postponing going out because there was a storm. Like the rain stopped at like 5:30, like right as we were going to leave the house. Well, then we came off the water because the storm was coming through at 11:30.
Yeah.
You know, so now you have this big high pressure on Saturday, which normally that shuts the fish down.
Yeah.
And it was just gangbusters, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think, man, maybe the fish are just getting used to the up and down weather.
I mean, it might be a thing where, it might be a thing where, you know, you get 24 hours of consistent weather and that's your consistent window. I mean, that might be the window where, you know, the weather's, that's a long stretch of consistent weather this year, I guess this is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess another theme that you spoke about earlier too of this spring has been the bite windows. I think that even started back in the Swamp Donkey where we even had bite windows during that even.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, and it seems like that's been a consistent trend throughout this spring here for you is what I've gathered just from talking to you tonight too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's, you can know the bite, but yeah, you still got to hit that window.
Yeah.
It'll be that window of like an hour, hour and a half that they just fire for you.
Yeah. And it feels like you have to be on your game during those bite windows. You have to get your baits in the water as much as possible during those bait windows. So yep. I know that's been a big thing. And I don't know. Can you think of any other themes of this spring schedule for you?
Bright colors. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense with all the rainfall and whatnot.
Yeah.
Dirtying up the water. All right. A couple more questions for you. What's something this spring during the spring schedule here where you felt like you really dropped the ball, where you really fucked up?
It's like my biggest mess up so far this year.
Yeah.
Not pre-fishing the river for the first Duck Creek.
Okay.
Or not cutting your line when you're dealing with the catfish.
Hey, that was fun. That was fun. But besides that, I guess what is a moment where you felt like you just killed it? Like you're freaking, yeah, I'm freaking happy. Like, name a moment.
In tournaments or just spring in general?
Just like the tournament schedule. I'm talking straight tournaments where you felt even though you didn't take first place, but where you really felt you nailed what you wanted to do and you felt really good about the results that you had?
When we made that, me and Andy made that change to Vincent.
Yeah.
When we realized that our blight in Suamico was dead and we made the run all the way over to Vincent and we lit it up, you know.
Okay.
Anytime you do, I mean, you do it in hunting too, you know, you're saying when to know to be that change, make a change.
Yep.
You know, like it's no different when you go set up in a tree, sun comes up and you realize you're in the wrong tree.
Yeah.
Do you take the gamble of ripping your set out and going three trees over because you know that's the better tree?
Yeah.
And then you do it and you don't get busted and then that deer comes through. You know, where if you would have been in that old tree, you wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. I guess, yeah. I think something cool that would we could talk about to kind of wrap up this podcast. I didn't come up with any would you rathers tonight because I think it's fun talking to you about, like, this tournament schedule this year. It's really, for me, from a distance, I've only participated in one tournament, but you know, seeing your Facebook post and whatnot and hearing, you know, your results and how the days are going, it gets me a little bit fired up and kind of inspires me to possibly, you know, do more than the Swamp Donkey next year. But besides
they got that big kayak one up in Mercer.
Get the kayaks going. But
it's yak something. It's a kayak tournament, man.
No, but speaking to that, I mean, besides, you know, some of the low lights of, you know, losing a GoPro, losing several of Andy's fishing lures, losing a net, you know, all those tough memories. What's like your favorite like memory of this season or favorite story? I think that'd be a good way to wrap up this podcast.
Oh, I mean, I think about my favorite part about this year compared to years past.
Yeah,
is getting more guys in it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just as a general. I mean, you look at the Swamp Donkey. It's you, me, Ryan, and Andy. So I got you and Ryan in the tournament. Now the whole Duck Creek series I've done with my brother-in-law, James. He's never even, like, he used to fish more a lot when he was in high school with me and stuff. And then when he left for the Army, you know, it's kind of hard to fish with him then when he's across the country.
Yeah.
But now that he's back, it's like I'm getting him more out in the boat and stuff with me. He's getting more familiar with setting up boards and stuff like that, netting. You know, and now me and Andy still did the Fox River Classic together. We're doing a fundraiser tournament, not this weekend coming up, but the first weekend of June, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's just, I'm not just fishing with the same guy every weekend, you know, as much as I love Andy, but it's like I'm just fishing with so many different people. I did pre-fishing with Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, so you'd say, you know, kind of the camaraderie of this year has been something that stuck out for you. Yeah, and like I said, that, I mean, watching from a distance and, you know, it's getting me fired up to where, you know, I wouldn't mind participating more in some of these tournaments with you as well, even if it's one more tournament. I don't care if it be a walleye tournament or sheephead tournament, but it's kind of fun, I don't want to say family atmosphere that you created, but you've kind of created like this group of guys that, you know, are really into like supporting not only you, but just, you know, the whole aspect of fishing and bringing guys together, I guess, is pretty cool to see. It's pretty cool to see. It's like rut camp or gun camp, but it's like walleye camp now. And that's why I think, you know, next year it'd be sweet to do some sort of walleye camp where, you know, we do like a walleye weekend, like to start off the year or something like that. I think it'd be really cool. So just to bring all the guys together. So I guess, is there any other final thoughts that you want to wrap up this podcast with? I think it was a pretty good conversation.
No, I'll finish with this. In my next tournament, I'm guaranteeing a top 10 finish.
Oh, damn. Let's leave it with that. All right. Top 10 finish. We will talk to you folks later. Thanks for being patient. Like we said, busy spring, tournament fishing, trout fishing, going to Rocky Mountain National Park. I don't know. We're all over the place. We're having a great time this spring. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next podcast.